Are you looking for a new math curriculum? CTC Math specializes in providing online video tutorials that take a multi-sensory approach to learning. Creative graphics and animation, synchronized with the friendly voice of internationally acclaimed teacher Pat Murray, make learning math easy and effective. Favorably reviewed in Kathy Duffy's 102 Top Picks and the Old Schoolhouse Crew Review, the lessons are short and concise to help your child break down concepts and appreciate math in a whole new way. Visit ctcmath.com today to start your free trial. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. We are back with part two with Nadeem El-Rahi, and we're talking about math. So if you missed Monday's episode, that was part one with him, and we talked about just some of the different ways to teach math, some of the things to avoid when teaching math. And today we're going to talk about how to make math fun, because that is the one thing that everybody wants to know about when it comes to math, is how in the world do you make math fun? So Nadeem, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you for having me again.
Yes, I'm so glad to have you here. It's kind of funny because math is not something that we have talked about yet. Well, I mean, we, you know, kind of intersperse it into different podcast episodes, but we've not actually done an entire episode focused on math. And as I have been homeschooling my kids, and as we have gotten deeper and deeper into math, one of the things that I have really noticed and that we've become really aware of in our family, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, but it's that math, everything that we teach our kids, we want to use those things to point our kids towards their creator, towards Christ. And so one might think, well, how in the world do I do that with math? How do I teach math and Jesus at the same time? Well, math is so perfect because math is absolute. It is in perfect order, and it shows that we have a God, we have a creator who is a perfect God of perfect order, and he is a God of absolutes. And so just like 2 + 2 will always equal 4, it has always equaled 4. It's never going to change. It can never be revised by anybody because they decide that they want 2 + 2 to equal 5. They can't do that. And in that same way, we don't get to change the order of God's creation. And so math is just one of those things that, again, points us towards just an incredible, awesome creator. He made up math. We didn't make it up. And it's amazing to me how when you look back into history, you can see how mankind, how humans have been able to develop their minds when it comes to understanding math. And they'll have these big, huge problems, you know, that they'll write, you see them, you know, on a movie or something, writing a big, you know, some kind of math problem up on the board. And it seems like the impossible problem. And then they get to the end and they're like, oh, well, there's the answer. And there's only one answer. You can't have more than one. And so I love that about math, because it's not a subject that I enjoyed growing up, but I do enjoy that I get to point my kids to their creator by teaching it. So I would love to talk about how to make math fun. And I know you've got some suggestions on that. And so talk to us a little bit about this. Talk to the mom like myself who does not love math, who struggled with math growing up, and who really wants my kids to grow up not dreading math, but being engaged and excited about learning it.
Yeah, for sure. I think the first thing is to tap into your child's interest. I think to work out what your child's interests are and then try to see if we can relate that back to math. An example, me growing up, I loved cars. I loved the model of cars. I loved the various types of cars. So one thing that I would have loved and enjoyed as a kid was surveying the models of cars on long road trips, just outside my home, and then tabling that and creating graphs and charts. So I think it's important to tap into your child's interests. If they like cooking, mm-hmm. Well, cooking is a fantastic example. There's a lot of fractions involved in measuring. What I really like with cooking is when you find a recipe for 4 people, but you're cooking for 6, and just multiplying the quantities, that always makes math fun. You know, yeah. It adds a really practical element to it. Another example are board games, you know, and these might be better suited to those students who really, really don't enjoy math, who really don't like math. So let's draw out some fun in board games. My little three-year-old Emma, she loves order and she loves helping out. So what we get her to do is set the table. And we get her to count out how many people are going to have dinner. So then she's got to count out the plates and count out the forks and count out the knives, because she wouldn't have an extra fork or a knife or one short plate. She just she's a bit of a perfectionist, and Tamara and I laugh about it. So really tapping into your child's interest and going with it. My brother loves bargains. So best buys, when we go to the shops, he's great at picking out the best buys and the best value for money.
Yeah, yeah. You know, math is one of those things that is fun to kind of incorporate into just life skills, because the whole purpose, of course, of raising our kids is not to raise kids, but it's to raise adults. And so we get to take these things that were that kids learn in a classroom and in a workbook or on an online program like CTC Math, and they get to use them in the real world. And like you talk about your brother, he enjoys bargain shopping. Well, it's great to be able to go into a grocery store and look at several different items. You know, you look at sour cream and see, okay, how many different items are there? What is the size? How much do they cost? What's the better deal? And just trying to figure out that way, you know, of course, weighing bananas, if you've got bananas and they're 85 cents a pound and you need 3 pounds of them, weigh them with your kids and say, well, how much is this going to cost if we have 3 pounds? And just doing that logical math with them, because that is really what prepares them for adult life, for life in general. And so it's a fantastic, gas is one of those things too. You know, when you're pumping gas and you think, okay, gas is, you know, so much per gallon and we've got to put, you know, 30 gallons in the car, how much is it going to cost us if we're on empty? Those are the things that really will allow kids, like you said, to have fun and to start realizing that, oh, math is not just something I do on a worksheet, but this is part of my everyday life as an adult. I have to understand these things. You mentioned board games. Do you have specific board games? The first game that comes to my mind is Yahtzee. Our family loves Yahtzee. We play that all the time. And so that and Rummy Cube, those are like my two favorite games. I like Rummy Cube because I almost always win and I like to win. So are there board games that you recommend that are great for teaching math?
I'm super competitive as well. I'm super competitive. Look, any games, I tend to lean towards the games that involve a bit of money transaction. Mm-hmm. So I always like Monopoly.
Sure.
I think it gets you thinking about a different side of math, more probably the accounting side of things.
Sure.
But Monopoly, any game of strategy really incorporates math, because you're breaking down a problem. You're breaking down what's the best way. So it might not involve numbers, but if it involves some sort of strategy, then certainly you're using your math brain.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Hey, let's take a quick break and then we're going to come back. I want to talk more about games and some other fun ways to do math.
Sounds cool.
The 2020 Homegrown Generation Family Expo is almost here. From February 17th through the 21st, the Schoolhouse Rocked team is gathering your favorite speakers in one place and hosting a one-of-a-kind live and interactive online event called the Homegrown Generation Family Expo. This will be a full week of encouragement, resources, and community, as we'll be addressing the most important issues that homeschool families face. You'll have the opportunity to interact live with our phenomenal lineup of speakers and have a chance to win valuable prizes. The price for this live and interactive online event is only $20, which also gives you lifetime access so that you can enjoy it whenever you want. Register today at homegrowngeneration.com. That's homegrowngeneration.com.
Hey guys, this is Brooklyn Hampton. Have you left a review for the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast yet? If you haven't, then pause the show right now and go do it. Don't worry, I'll wait. Have you done it yet? Great. Then back to the show.
We are back with Nadim, and we were talking about board games before the break and how playing games oftentimes is really good for engaging kids' brains with numbers and with math and even with accounting. Are there other activities? Well, first of all, are there any other games you would recommend? And I'll actually, you know what, if I have time, I will do my best before this airs. I'll try to see if I can find some good math games, because I know that there are lots of homeschool moms out there who actually, they love games. They love playing games. And again, that goes back to the relationship with our kids. I mean, how much fun is it to play a game with your kid? And I will say, if you have a child who's super crazy competitive and they cry when they lose, that is such a great opportunity to reach the heart of your child. I remember my oldest, when she was real little, we would play games and she would get upset when she would lose. And that's natural for most kids. I think most kids do that. And it was fun because it wasn't fun for her to cry, but I remember just thinking, what a great opportunity this is to teach her how to lose at a game and how to be a gracious loser. She's not a loser. She's wonderful. But and so I taught her when she was really little, I would teach her to say if someone else won, and I would not let her win. I would never let her win a game. But I would teach her to say, "Congratulations, mommy. I'm so happy for you that you won." And it was so funny because she was so little and she would lose and she would, you know, first start to get it emotional about it. And then she would say, "Congratulations, mommy. I'm so happy that you won." And over time, it really did teach her that if you play your best, you always want to do your very best. But it's okay if someone else wins. And when they do, we get to celebrate with them. And so that's a little bit of a rabbit trail. But are there any other games that, just in thinking through it, that you think, man, these are just great games for teaching math?
Yeah, and just quickly on that, I think that's a fantastic opportunity, really taking the opportunity to teach a little lesson there and teaching our kids to be a little kind, you know, teaching kindness. There's many. Connect Four is another game of strategy. Again, you're sort of thinking ahead and thinking on how to break down the problem or how to best achieve the desired outcome of getting those four in a row. But I reiterate, it doesn't have to be numbers. So chess or anything like that.
Yeah. And strategy games, like you said, those are fantastic.
Strategy games. Yeah. There's a card game that I like to play that I don't know if you would have heard of. It's called 400. So you basically got to get cards to I'll send you the rules. How about that?
Oh, fine.
It's a counting game.
Oh yeah. That does sound fun. I would love to hear that. Our family loves Farkle. I don't know if you've heard of that game. No. But it's a really fun math game. You have to, you know, count the dice and stuff, and it's has a terrible name. I hate the name of it, but it's a really fun game. And so what else? What are some other ways of making math fun with our kids?
Yeah, I think if you've got a lot of leaves outside, I think it'd be pretty cool to go out and sweep them up and think, okay, how many bags are we going to fill up? You know, play a bit of a guessing game where you sort of estimate how many leaves you're going to fill up. That's another situation of making math fun and bringing it out in nature. Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of stems to nature. Everything follows growth patterns, even if it's just researching, you know, just jumping on the internet and researching models of growth of trees, of all sorts of things, growth and decay.
So that's fun. And you talk about estimating leaves and things. That's something that you could even do with, you know, pasta or M&Ms or something like that, you know, put a bunch in a jar. And I mean, I know that's always a fun thing. You know, we sometimes go to the library and they'll have some sort of goofy jar with candy in it or something. And, you know, guess how many M&Ms are in this jar, and the winner wins the whole jar, and things like that. Yeah, those are great for kids. Great for them to just learn how to logically think through that kind of stuff. We have a few more minutes left. And so I want to talk, what is the number one roadblock that you see that students face when learning math?
I think the number one roadblock by far, it's a great question, is confidence, that they're down on confidence. That once that confidence is beaten, that once it's down, a shield goes up and nothing sort of, it's difficult to get through to them or make any headway. So confidence, we've got to really rebuild that confidence. Yeah. And it's just brilliant when they see things in a different way or an explanation from a different angle that really gets to them, and then you see the aha moment.
Yes.
You know, the light bulbs go off and the aha moment and the change of expression on their face.
Yes.
So finding confidence is a big one.
Yeah, I totally agree. I've experienced that many times with both of my girls where they're just struggling through a concept and then they just get it and they're like, oh, I get it. And they get so excited about it. And you're like, yes, you get it. And it is hard to not become frustrated when you've explained it to them, you know, so many times over and over. But then there's just that, it's like a switch that just, oh, yeah, I get it. And that, you know, that happens with many things, you know, whether it's spelling or math or, I don't know, just a variety of different subjects where they just, but math seems to be the one that just that concept just clicking over and just encouraging our kids along the way. And it's one of the great things about homeschooling is that, you know, we have our grade levels for everything, but as homeschool families and as homeschool students, they don't have to adhere to a specific grade level of anything. They don't have to be in third grade math or eighth grade math. We can cater to how God created them and what their bent is towards math. And, you know, I have one daughter who does not like math, and I have one who really likes math and she really gets it. But my daughter who doesn't like math, she enjoys other things much more than her sister does. And so it's great to be able to just see how God has created each one of them with their specific gifts and abilities. So one last thing that actually doesn't have to do with math.
Sure.
You're in Australia. I would love to know, what is the homeschool climate like in Australia? Is it growing? Is it even existent? I know you and I've talked before and you've said, oh, you've thought about maybe homeschooling when your kids are of school age. What does it look like there?
For sure. It is growing. That's the great thing about it. It is growing and it is getting bigger, which is fantastic. It's not as big, of course, as it is in the US. Mm-hmm. I think the difference here is that there's a lot more options available to parents with just the way government funding works. Every school receives government funding. So there's actually a lot of parents who go off and start their own schools. And a lot of people get together and start off their own schools. There are more options in that. But I think as things change, and I think when the government, if they start to regulate curriculums and what is taught, I think you'll see homeschooling just absolutely take off here in Australia. We have very close friends of ours who homeschool. They're six children. Okay. It's fantastic to see. I can see that they actually tap into a lot of the US resources, which is awesome.
Yeah.
With my involvement of CTC Math, I'm getting in touch with more and more Aussie homeschoolers as well, which is great.
That's fantastic. Is it something that if there's a family who's homeschooling, do others kind of look at them like they're crazy? Like, what in the world are you doing? Or because I know here in America, it's not everywhere, but the majority of this country, if you go, I mean, I never hesitate to go out in public with my kids during a school day and never. I don't think there's been one time where anyone has just said, oh, you guys are homeschooled. That's terrible. You should be in school. You should be in public school or private school. People may think that, but no one's ever actually said that to me. And more often than not, people will actually say, oh, wow, you're homeschooled. That's great. I have a sister who homeschools or a niece who homeschools or something like that. And it's very widely accepted here overall. Is it widely accepted there as well? Or are people still kind of sitting back wondering what this homeschool thing is?
I think it is widely accepted. I think the issue that might sort of play on people's minds, which is really unfortunately still this stigma of the sort of social ramifications, sure, that, which of course we all know is not true,
right,
and completely wrong. But just sort of educating people, I suppose, sure, explaining that to people,
Yeah, well, that is one of the big, big reasons behind Schoolhouse Rocked, why we're making the movie, why we've got our blog and our social media outlets. All of those things are to help people open their eyes up to the just great blessings and benefits of homeschooling. And so hopefully we can help do that down under as well. Nadeem, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate your math encouragement. And we appreciate you guys. We appreciate CTC Math. You guys have been very supportive of what we're doing. And so we are very grateful for you. And people can find out more about you at ctcmath.com. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay, perfect. We will link to that in the show notes, of course. I'll try to find some fun math games in addition to the ones that you have recommended. And I'll put those in the show notes as well. And you guys, thank you for listening. Nadeem, have a great week. And listeners, you have a great week too. We pray for you guys all the time, and we are so grateful for your support and your encouragement. And we will see you guys back here again next week. Bye.